Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, as well as 1798part2.org, as well as republicreview.org. And so I want you to understand that you are listening to the only show that asserts the constitutional solution to getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And so if you want to call in, the number is 215-867-8255, and that number in phonetics would be 215-TOP, TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K. And so, as you've heard me say this, and I want to get into this first and foremost, as you know, that we have a lot of candidates that need support. And as a matter of fact, I rant and rave all the time. Now that we've gotten through most of the primaries, there are still a couple of primaries that I need your support on in invoking a change in focusing on the Constitution. And so, therefore, if you go to my Republic Review, or not republicreview.org, we don't have it up there yet, but we do have it on reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you go to the candidates endorsement page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you'll see that I have four state legislators who have signed the pledge in committing to supporting the Constitution. And in doing so, we will find that if you start sending a little bit of money, and I'm not talking about writing big checks. If you want to write big checks, these are the guys that are standing up for the Constitution, that are willing to stand up to the federal government and say, you have no authority over all of these roles, responsibilities, and powers that you've usurped from us. And therefore, if you want to send some money, just send them $2. If every person listening to the show right now sent $2 to these four legislators and the governor, which is Taylor Haynes, Carl Allred, and Clarence Stiver, and Bill Winnie, as well as Greg Flesvig, those are the five candidates that are willing to take on the federal government and literally tell them that they have no authority. We have the academic argument. If anybody can refute this, by all means, I invite you to do so. However, if everybody would be sending a little bit of money to these candidates, then if you times that by the magnitude of the thousands of people that are listening, then we would have an overwhelming amount of wind in their sails to get them past their primary in Wyoming, which is the 21st. It's literally 2 weeks ago from yesterday. And so we still have time to help get these candidates across the wire. So I'm begging and pleading for those of you who are out there wanting to have an impact. If you really want to have an impact on the direction of this republic and how we will move forward, because we don't have a lot of time, I think you'll find that anybody that has done analysis, we got maybe 2 to 5 years based on the kids coming into the electorate, as well as the illegal aliens and everything else, before we are overturned by democracy and they will demand that we surrender our Constitution. And if you want to refute that as well, I'd be happy. I wish I was wrong on my analysis on this, but unfortunately, I'm not. As I move forward, though, really quick, let me also basically state that I usually do. This is a show that is dedicated to supporting those state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. In addition to that, we also want to support those grassroots leaders in the central committees, which are the parties, because they are the ones that have control over their brand. We do not need any more John McCain's or anybody that is a chameleon wearing a Republican label. How is that? That's a nice word, chameleon, where they are really supporting statist ideologies as well as socialism, as well as communism, and so forth. And so what this means in supporting these different groups, these legislators and these central committees, what this means is we're stepping up to help them so that they can protect us, all of us, not just those in the county, those in the constituencies. When one person stands up against the federal government, they're standing up for all of us. And that's how we can get a David to stand up against Goliath. And that's why we're starting with Wyoming first. Because Wyoming being the reddest of red states, the Constitution is still in their DNA. And that's why we're really focused in trying to get your support in stepping up in supporting these candidates that have actually signed these pledges. And I ask you again to go read those actionable items that they're signing up to commit to. They're literally committing to calling for the audit of the Constitution and forcing the federal government to address all of their egregious violations of the Constitution. Education, energy, you know what they are. So anyway, let me get through one more thing. I actually have a caller, and this is going to be good. I think it's John Shafley, but I want to grovel, and just let me grovel real quick. I need your help, and I appreciate all of those who have stepped up. It's growing, but I need more, and I've got a lot of states that we do not have representation in. If you've got time, you got a phone, you got a computer, you can help. Doesn't take a lot of time, and if you only got a little bit of time, we will, you know, parse off what we can, and whatever you can do to help, it would be greatly appreciated. So I would just ask that you send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. So let me just take the call. Hi, John, are you there? Hello?
Hello, good to be with you.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley with Reclaiming the Republic. I'm going to bet that you were really dialing in for the following show that comes on in another hour.
Well, maybe if I'm in the wrong time zone today.
Maybe this is divine providence. I don't know if you've heard my monologue and what I've been talking about, because I believe the Shafley organization and the Shafley family is huge on supporting liberty.
Yes, it certainly is, and protecting the Constitution is a big part of it.
Right.
And in fact, the topic that my brother Andy and I wrote about this week was, the federal courts have been issuing ruling after ruling against President Trump, but Congress can do something about that because the Constitution gives power to Congress to regulate the federal courts.
Yep.
And instead, the Speaker of the House is retiring for no good reason, and
Right. The
House of Representatives has adjourned for a month, and they're not doing what they should be doing.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. And as a matter of fact, before Trump got into office, I was actually out in front saying if he wants to literally start making some significant changes and making America great again, because the first thing he was complaining about, even before he got into office, was the court system. And so you're absolutely right. Congress actually can put out a Judiciary Act. They can, and that doesn't require a supermajority. They can actually reel in the courts rather quickly. And I honestly think, let me get your opinion on this. I think that the problem is that maybe Trump doesn't understand the Constitution enough to go over and poke Congress in the eye and say, go do your job. What do you think?
Well, he certainly has some legal advisors who should be able to put his requests into the proper language.
Uh-huh.
But there's plenty of lawyers in Congress, too, who know perfectly well and who carry around a pocket constitution. All you have to do is open it up and turn to, it's in Article 1, Section 8, then it's Article 3.
Right.
That Congress has power over the federal courts.
Right, but
they should not sit there and do nothing while the court judges appointed by Obama and Clinton are issuing rulings against the president's power to take action.
Right. So let me give you my paradigm on this, because I know lots of people that carry the Constitution. I am one of them that carries the Constitution with me. And as a matter of fact, if you rely strictly upon the Constitution alone, because John Marshall and lots of jurists have been able to obfuscate and actually create false narratives regarding that Constitution alone, the only way you can really get to the real bare truth of what that Constitution is, is by literally, and I truly mean this, but you have to go through the ratification debates, because that is where they actually discuss the definitions of the clauses. That is where they clearly define the limitations of jurisdiction. And anytime a contract, because the Constitution is a contract written for and by the states, anytime a contract is opened in discussion for it is for its ratification or for its acceptance, then one will find that those definitions that were provided as a part of the acceptance or ratification are legally binding definitions. And that's why the ratification debates are critical appendages to the Constitution that actually and academically proves that the federal government has no jurisdiction, especially the court systems, over anything that is not enumerated. They have no jurisdiction over life. They have no jurisdiction over health. They have no jurisdiction over education. None of those things are enumerated, and they have zero jurisdiction. So what do you think of that?
Well, I think you're right about that. And, of course, the best known of those part of the ratification debates were the 85 articles written by Hamilton, Madison, and Jay called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah, so the Federalist Papers are actually, you're absolutely right. Those are good explanations. But those, so the difference between the ratification debates and the Federalist Papers is the Federalist Papers were arbitrary articles that were just written to help inform people about the Constitution. But to be clear, the ratification debates are actually the arguments that were used to compel those delegates to vote for or against the ratification. And so I'm actually up at a hard break. So if you want to hang on, John, please stand by and I'll be right back with you. Thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks. We're at a hard break here. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so let me get back to the line here. As a matter of fact, I've got another caller, and I recognize that that is Bill Winnie that is on the phone. He won't necessarily be available. Hold on, Bill. We've got John Shafley calling in. And so, John, I'm not sure if you garnered from my outgoing message, but were you able to determine what Republic Review is and kind of what I'm talking about as far as auditing the Constitution? John, are you there?
Yes. Yes. Hi. How are you doing? I'm sorry I skipped a beat there.
That's okay. You dialed into a show that I think really aligns with the Shafley model as far as supporting the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And so if you didn't garner what I'm talking about, I wrote a book and I've written the thesis that the states have the authority to literally audit the contract or have the authority to step in and interpose. And if you understand what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison did in 1798, then you'll understand that they had the power and authority to try to audit the Constitution. They called on the other states, and this lines up with Federalist Paper number 49, as well as Jefferson's assertions in his book, Notes on the Virginia of 1784. And the concept is literally to using the states in enforcing compliance to the Constitution, not using the states to try to amend by the Article 5 process, but using the states to enforcing the Constitution. And so is what do you think of that kind of principle or that idea that I have?
Well, I certainly agree with the principle that, the Constitution is a contract, a social contract. It does, of course, we who are living now, we're not there when these agreements were made, and we're bound by them anyway because we're part of the community that is bound by them. We can change them if we desire to, but the process of changing is very, very difficult, and that's the way it was intended by the framers.
Correct. And so I'm sure you're very familiar with the 1798 resolutions of Kentucky and Virginia. And if you read my premise, and actually if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, John, and right on the very front page, I place my academic argument that the states have all the authority necessary to fix this mess. And then right below that is another set of bullets that literally defines how this process works. And if you read through those things and you go back and you read Jefferson's first resolution of 1798, the one that they promulgated in October, it will jump out of the page that everything that Jefferson was doing was first he was auditing the Constitution, and in Resolution 8, he was calling on committees of correspondence amongst the states to be established so that they could work together in rebuking and getting the federal government back into compliance. And so what I basically have done is extrapolated this whole concept and gone back into that paradigm of a contract and said, you know what, the divine providence is clear because they, with the insights of, I will just say, our good Lord and Savior, he was the one that inspired them to make this a hard, fast contract. And so today we have the ability to actually exercise those inherent nature, the inherent characteristics and traits of a contract, and forcing the federal government to comply to their contract of the states. Pretty interesting?
Well, yes. Yes. That's a very important part of our American history. Now, to be fair, of course, Jefferson was elected president in 1800, and he served president for two terms, and he did not, while he was president, take any action to implement or to change the Constitution during that time. And the things that he said and wrote earlier, well, I'm not sure what happened to that in his own mind.
Well, so I understand what you're saying, though, but if you understand what Jefferson was dealing with and the delays or latency that they had to deal with in dealing with the foreign affairs, the war in Tripoli he had to go do, and the internal problems that they had, life was a lot different. And plus, he also understood that his hands were completely tied as the president. He could only faithfully execute the laws. He had no place in trying to create laws and that type of thing, if that makes sense. because Madison was in the same boat. Well, I mean, Madison followed up, and Madison didn't make really any efforts in trying to lead legislation. He tried to encourage, but he never tried to lead like we have today, where we get these presidents like Clinton and Carter and so forth in creating even FDR. I mean, it goes back through all these progressive presidents who have literally overstepped their bounds in demanding specific types of legislation.
Well, you're certainly right, and the framers of our Constitution did believe, although they said they established three branches of government, they certainly believed that the Congress, the legislative branch, would be the primary organ of government and would be the most important and the most powerful. And sometimes it seems that it hasn't worked that way in the last decade in recent years,
or century,
in most of the 20th century since Franklin Roosevelt. The president has very much taken the lead. Congress doesn't want to can't seem to do anything on its own initiative. You know, they wait for example, for the president to submit his budget for the federal government, and then Congress tinkers with it a little bit, when in fact Congress should have the full power to originate and decide from the first instance what programs will be implemented and authorized and the funds appropriated to spend on it.
To me, it's even farther. It's more simpler than that. The Constitution dictates what programs they can institute. If it's not enumerated, as Nicholas said in 1788 during the Virginia ratifications, if it's not enumerated, they can't meddle with it. Same thing with Madison. Madison said that several times in the ratification debates. James Wilson. I mean, in every single ratification debate, they clearly delineated that if it is not enumerated, the federal government has no jurisdiction. It's hands off. It was very clear. And so if you want to understand what the federal government's budget should be, it should only be in supporting of those enumerated powers. And that's it. Everything else is a violation. And it's in a business, when somebody is spending money that is outside of their purview, then they're committing fraud, extortion, or what have you. And that's the same thing with our federal government. It's fraud.
Well, you're certainly right about that. That is that was the view of many of our founders, including Madison. But as you know, in 1937, the United States Supreme Court basically changed that and said that any program that Congress decides supports the general welfare of the United States, they can establish and spend money on.
Okay,
so we've been living under that regime ever since.
Sure, and I've had lots of professors go through the different progressive eras from Wilson, FDR, Johnson, and so forth. And every time I just bring up the one little problem that they have with this is that Article 5 never gave the Supreme Court the authority to amend and or change those definitions, that if they want to change it. And the greatest example that we have is that during the 1800 presidential campaign, it became so arduous that they actually went and made minute changes of the Electoral College, but they amended the Constitution in doing so. And therefore, if they want to give the Supreme Court the ability to amend the Constitution and redefine which branch of government and who has the ability to amend the Constitution and those definitions and concepts, then they have to go through the Article 5 process, and the states have to delegate that to the Supreme Court. But that has never happened. And so they've constantly stepped over the boundaries. And the problem, in my humble opinion, is that we've just had constitutional illiteracy ever since the beginning, because we've actually trusted bad, nefarious people.
Yes, you have a good perspective to span the 220 years of our Constitution.
Yep.
People today, of course, have become so accustomed to the vast size the federal government and the amount of money that they spend, that they don't see how they can survive without it.
So let me give you the insights, and this, the gentleman that's also waiting on call, he's probably listening to this entire dialogue, is Bill Winnie. He is the state legislator. My focus is not trying to educate the American people, because if you understand the American Revolution, when they went into that American Revolution, they didn't go to the American people and say, hey, we're going to have a war. Is that okay with you? No, these guys were leaders. They were already, because it was a Republican form of government, they were representatives of the people. They were empowered already. And so they led and they did the right thing. So my focus is actually on the 5,445 state legislators throughout this republic, in educating them that it is their job to interpose, to stand up. As Madison says, they are duty bound to do this, in the Virginia resolution of December 1798. And so my position is to educate them to do their job and to call for this audit. And if I get Wyoming, if I can get Wyoming to stand up and start this discussion, this will spread like a wildfire throughout the republic that the states actually have this authority. And I honestly believe that we will find that Trump will probably get on board with this, because he'll actually see that we'll be able to dismantle the deep state and a lot of the problems that we've been inflicted with these progressives. And so I apologize, but we're at a hard break. And John, if you want to hang on, that's great. But what I'd like to do is get your information so that we can do a follow-on. My email is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We'll be right back, folks. My listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so I guess John will probably be sending me an email because he's disconnected. But we do have Bill Winnie on the phone, and I want to kind of jump there to him. That was an interesting interchange with John, because he stepped into a radio program, and I'm really glad he did, because I have the greatest respect for the Shafleys, and that's a family of great heritage regarding protecting and preserving liberty. And so I hope that this actually helps expose him, because it's literally an incremental process as people start learning and understanding what Republic Review is and the audit process. I think it becomes an epiphany, an awakening that will literally start forcing a very honest and open dialogue with the state legislatures, which we hope will actually get across the finish line. And so how are you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Let me ask you, how is the campaign going? How is the war on the ground?
Oh, it's, as I've said before, it's always an uphill battle with an incumbent, but I'm in there pitching, and I was out talking to some people today, and, you know, I'll get there. I'll get out. I've been out, and I've knocked on doors a good bit, and that's, you know, the neatest thing about knocking on doors is you meet people and you talk to people in all sorts of places and with all sorts of views. And sometimes you get surprised, sometimes nicely, occasionally not so nicely, and they both have happened. So anyway, I'm in there pitching.
Okay, well, I know today or tonight, the PayPal money should have transferred over. So I'm going to be moving some funds that I've received over to you as well as the other candidates. And I'll be doing that tonight. I'm hoping, and I'm going to guess that probably you're not getting enough money or none. And so I'm just hoping that people start garnering. And I think that conversation with John, I mean, I know he was completely on his heels because he had no idea that there was this plan. There's, you know, there's a lot of people that are still, and without using the term in a negative or derogatory sense, the status quo is we got to get our guys in. We're going to change this thing. We're going to change it slowly. And I know for a fact we don't have the time. And I know for a fact that the good Lord knew what he was doing by creating this concept of a contract that in these days we would wake up and go, hey, you can't do that. That's our contract. And that's the most important message that can be taught, I believe, to the state legislators. So anyway, what was my question for that? So what was your impression regarding that conversation?
Well, I came in on it only at a quarter after, so it sounded like you guys had already been talking a while.
We did talk a little bit, yes.
Yeah. But very, very clearly, the you call it a contract, you know, and clearly that's accurate. But another perspective I'd offer you, you know, John brought up this idea that, well, you know, we weren't alive when they did the Constitution, but we're still bound by it. The whole purpose of the Constitution, from my perspective, is so that people in later generations could count on what the government was going to do and that they understood what it was going to do. And, of course, that turns back into the contract concept.
Correct.
View of you.
Right.
And I got, but I think it's important not to lapse over into saying, gee, we weren't here when they made it, but golly, I guess we're bound by it. And you've illustrated how maybe some parts of government are trying to find their way around it. Well, that's what bureaucracies do.
Right. Well, you know, if I could just give you a different perspective, because there's a lot of people that have kind of stated, you know, hey, well, that's our contract. And technically, that's not right. As a matter of fact, when Madison, and I've read this several times on this show, when Madison identified who are the parties to the contract, we the people or we the people of the several sovereigns, it is really the state's contract. Now, Madison and during those days, they were very cognizant of the fact that the states were sovereigns, but the political power comes from the people. And so the important thing to keep in mind is states are perpetual entities. And just like the federal government has been a perpetual entity, it has been the state's job all this time to ensure that it inserts itself whenever the federal government goes beyond that. But here's the thing. It's not like we just kind of accidentally meandered through this past century or two. That's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, there's been lots of lies and deceit that has come from jurists and politicians. And so we have ended up into this position because we've been lied to, hoodwinked, and so forth by corrupt politicians on both the state side and the federal government side. And I think the most important message that one can find is in Madison's veto of the bonus bill of 1817, when Madison said, even if the states allow you to do this, it is still a violation and can be undone. And I'm paraphrasing, but bottom line is, if it's a violation of the contract, then the states actually can lift their authority over the egregious violations or what have you, and demand compliance.
Oh, I think it's very clear when the states act in a unified manner,
yep,
that they are all powerful.
Yes.
And the binding of the Constitution actually is a bit of a two-way street, so that the states don't get far too all powerful. But the point being, which is what you're getting to with your entire idea of reclaiming the republic, is the states have allowed themselves to be given a back seat.
I don't believe that is the sentiment in Wyoming. I believe Wyoming doesn't like the fact that it is in the position it is. There's lots of people, and I believe there's lots of legislators. That's why I'm counting on Wyoming, and I'm counting on you and other legislators to start getting it. And let me make this plea to the audience again, folks. These legislators that are on my ReclaimingTheRepublic.org page, on the candidate endorsement page, when you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, on the right side, I have candidate endorsements. If you would please click on that, and you will see a list of folks. Like Bill here is one of the four state legislators who have signed a pledge. He needs money. It costs money to win a campaign. He's trying to unseat a status quo Republican, somebody that doesn't have any vision and has failed to get engaged in trying to find solutions. They just do their job on the committees that they're on, and that's it. Bill recognizes that we absolutely are at a critical mass and we need to step forward, just like the other people on that page. They need some help. So please, please send them. I know this sounds ludicrous. If you can write a bigger check, whatever you can afford. But if everybody, I go on this principle, if everybody listening would give $2 to each of these candidates, just $2, especially if you did this a week, that would be thousands of dollars that would help get them through this week and next week in this election process. And so anyway, I'm begging and pleading and I'm groveling. I hope that helps, Bill.
Well, I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. Wyoming doesn't view itself as having taken a back seat. But from my perspective here in Wyoming, we're sometimes like a lone voice crying in the wilderness.
Right, right. Well, so how else is things going as far as the campaign? Have you gotten into the big issues? Has the Constitution? Have you guys even had a debate, you and your opponent?
No, we have a forum coming up Monday the 13th. In Alpine, Wyoming, at the Don Wooden Civic Center, 7:30 in the evening.
Uh-huh.
And that's when we'll to do that. There's a number of forums for various campaigns going on right now, and that's just where this one fell out. That's a pretty good location. It's kind of right in the middle of the district, in a sense. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
Now, is this going to be a head-on between you and Marty?
Yes.
Okay. And have you pulled out have you pulled out all the stops? I mean, it's time to really gain that momentum. And I know you're a nice guy, and I know that you really, there's lots of people that try to do, the clean, I don't want to hurt, as a matter of fact, I think some people feel tantamount that they're hitting a woman when they, when they go after them politically. And we can't do that. But the bottom line is, elections have consequences, and that getting the right person into that seat is very, very critical. I can't emphasize enough how important it is, because the Republic and our Constitution are in the balance. I know I've written and I've actually created a dialogue of an introduction for you. I hope you would take that with you, and I hope you would play that.
I've got it up on my website right now.
Okay, awesome. But I would ask that at that forum that, hey, I've got an endorsement from a national radio show host, and I would like to play this if it's okay, and then let me do, you know, the rough handling or what have you. But as you can tell, Bill, hold on a quick second. I'll be right back after this hard break with our sponsor. So please stay tuned, folks, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you very much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so we are back. And if you didn't get the very beginning of the show, we actually had John Shafley on. And I know that he's not necessarily part of the Eagle Forum, or there's this huge split, actually, between the Shafley Eagle Forum. But anyway, it was a great opportunity to be able to plant a seed into a concept that was obviously something that he was not able to fathom until he talked to me. And so now we actually have this seed planted there, and hopefully that will actually grow some fruit. But we've got Bill Winnie on the line, and we were just talking about your campaign, and you've got this upcoming candidate forum. And is this a good central candidate forum? I'm sorry, hold on, Bill. You know, I actually hit the answer button, and now you can talk, because whatever you said, I've muted. So forgive me. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's in a good location, sponsored by the League of Women Voters. They sponsor a number of those kind of forums and are very well known for it. And so I'm looking forward to it, and I appreciate your comment about using the endorsement. Since it's 8 minutes, I'm going to go talk to them. and make sure they're comfortable with that. I'll send you an email and let you know where that goes.
Okay.
But appreciate it.
No problem. As a matter of fact, if you want to back channel, what have you, know how to get a hold of me, because I avail myself, friends, listeners, please, I want you to know, I avail myself to these state legislators. I want to help them understand. I want to help them do the right thing, because most of them love the Constitution, especially in these dark red states. And everybody's recognizing the position as we watch these marches for life, as we watch these indolent progressive kids coming out of the indoctrination centers. If that doesn't scare you enough, we need to get these state legislatures on board. So that's why I just avail myself to these good men and women. Anyway, if you want, I would be happy to engage as much as possible. Apparently, there are some entities and organizations, just like the Women's League Voters, or actually the Women's League of Republicans, or Women's Republicans, I think is what it is, right?
Republican women.
Republican women of this particular county. And so there's probably more. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So there's probably more organizations like that. Do you have any more opportunities between this week and next week to be able to, I'll just use the word, make more political hay in having some more forums, if you can put that on steroids?
No, there aren't any more forums. They pretty much wrap up about Wednesday of next week. On the other hand, every time you knock on a door, that's another forum, although it isn't as big as most.
I get it. And as a matter of fact, I hope that you have, as you knock on the door, you convince them to make sure they participate and to make sure they vote and so forth. But this is an uphill battle, and I pray that you can do it this year. I know that you're committed, because you haven't been going to the state legislatures to self-represent you and the legislative district and watching what's going on for well over 10 years. And I understand your passion. I want to help, but I know that you're not going to give up, because you've been doing this for a little while. And we're a little bit late coming to the dance to help you, but we are getting more organized. And I will tell you, if we don't make it this year, in 2020, you're getting across the finish line, hook or crook.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem. It's an honor to be able to help good men and women. And as I call you a framer of our future, I want people to put this into context that, you know, how... I don't know how you feel. I know you're a veteran. I'm a veteran. We're both retired. And I hear people call service members heroes. I never look at myself as a hero. I went in because I felt a moral obligation in serving my country. And I didn't feel like it was a status of hero or worthy of being a hero. I did lots of good things, was awarded for all sorts of things, but that was my job. As a matter of fact, I always felt that, when a staff NCO or an officer goes above and beyond, that's what they're supposed to do. You're not supposed to give them a cookie or reward them. But anyway, I truly believe that it will be the real heroes of our future will be those state legislators who actually step in and save this country. And you're going to be a hero. Are you ready for it?
Well, I'm working on it. I mean, the reason I started doing what I've done with the Wyoming legislature is when I retired and from active duty, I just couldn't see myself going out and playing golf. I had learned too much and I'd seen too much in my time in Washington, and I recognized that in many cases, a private citizen can make a difference, and that's what I've been working on.
Great, and my hat's off to you. Glad you called in, and I would like to take this one little quick moment to appeal to the listeners. Please support Bill. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and if you go to the candidate endorsement button on the right side of that homepage, it'll take you to where Bill's links are. You can just follow those links and go to his website and donate to him. I would love to see more people getting behind you and all these other candidates. I just implore you, I beseech your support. And And the bottom line is it takes money to win a campaign, especially when you're trying to unseat an existing incumbent. And so I know that this year Marty will probably feel the heat, and I'm hoping it's enough heat to get you in, if that makes sense.
I got it. I'm working on it. You know, I've always said a little bit of an uphill battle.
Okay.
But what? Get on. You know, my view is what things.
Right. There you go. Well, let me thank you for calling in. And I'm going to go ahead and do kind of a wrap up on some of the things I kind of wanted to breeze through. I really don't have much time to do that. But do you have any saved rounds, any shots or anything for the listeners?
No, I'm in there pitching. You're absolutely right. Some money makes a difference. And as we come up on the forum, that's where I'm looking to make my most money. But I got to tell you, it is nice to knock on doors and talk to people face to face. Thank you, GR.
No problem. Thank you so much. And, you know, next time you come on, I'm going to ask you, who is the most brilliant constitutional mind you've ever met? But we'll wait for that for another time. Anyway, take care, my friend, and we will talk to you soon. Bye now.
Take care.
Well, folks, I know I don't have a lot of time, and there was actually quite a bit of news that I really wanted to go through, and I'll just try to do a real quick one. I'll do a follow-up on The Secrets of the Melbourne Man, but I don't want to do that today. I'll do that tomorrow, because what I covered in that little article or that little recount of the man that went to Melbourne on a mission and what he experienced with that progressive that talked about the communist plan, I thought was very fascinating. I'm not sure what you thought, but I did have a couple of outtakes regarding that. And so the other thing I wanted to kind of talk about, I'm not sure if you knew, but the Missouri was able to pass a law previously about banning compulsory membership. Well, the unions literally battled back, and they were able to basically undo that law or defeat it 2-1. And so this is what the progressives are doing. They're all in subjugating. So in other words, if you want to go to work and you want to, you know, be able to bring your money home, well, I'm sorry, if it's a union shop, they are going to have their hands in your pocket if you live in Missouri. That is their paradigm. It is compulsion. It is force. And it's like, I get it, that the people working in these government jobs are working on dirt floors. They're working in horrible, you know, conditions, and that they need the union there to make their conditions better. Oh, I'm sorry, that was over a century ago. Unions have lost their relevance, and there is really no need for unions other than to promote collectivism and to promote the concept that you can't do it on your own, and that is a failed ideology. The other thing is, in the Maryland gubernatorial race, Ben Jealous, who is a socialist, was asked, "Are you a socialist?" And he literally started using expletives, you know, and attacking the journalist that was asking him. This is the doctrine of taqiyya, which is an Islamic doctrine. It is basically using lies and deceit to kind of, you know, basically attack or do whatever they can to further their cause. What this reporter should have asked him was to ask him a direct question like, what part of the National Democratic Platform does he believe is wrong? Because I ask you, my friends, go read the Democratic Platform. It is the Communist Manifesto. It is the 10 planks on steroids. I mean, they are embracing communism completely, and getting Ben Jealous to answer that question of what parts do you have a problem with? Because then you go read that, and then you will realize that he is absolutely a socialist and communist, because he will not pick apart the Democratic Platform. You know, so case closed, end of story. I do also know that there is one other race that may be critical, that once we get past this Wyoming primary, if you want to support a race, the Michigan 13th District is setting up to be a very historical one, because there is a Muslim that is working to get into Congress. So my only problem is, and I don't care about faith for the most part, except for Islam and Muslims, there is a contrast between the liberty of the Constitution and the doctrine of Islam, and I'll get into that tomorrow. So please stay tuned. This is GR. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.